Kind of the concept behind this is that, you know, sometimes we can get a little too much adoration for men of God. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be behind men of God. We should be behind men of God. But sometimes men of God can be lifted up higher than that what they should be by people. And we got to be careful about that. And you know, it does happen. It happens in all types of different churches. It happens in Baptist churches. But I just want to tell you a story really quick about Jack Hiles. I told a story about Jack Hiles last time I was here, so I figured I'd do it again, okay? So Jack Hiles, you know, he was a great man of God. I don't have anything against him or anything like that, but I heard a story about Jack Hiles from my old pastor, and he said that there was a pastor named Dallas Dobson, and he was the pastor in Pasco, Washington, and he had Jack Hiles coming to preach for him, and when he came to preach for him, the people had made signs like they're at a football game and were holding signs. And the pastor, he'd come to preach there before, and so the pastor knew what everybody was going to do. And what they did is they, you know, what the pastor said is he said, "Hey, he's just a man." And before Jack Hiles got up to preach, he said, "He's just a man. Just remember that. He's just a man." And Jack Hiles was a very popular preacher at that time. The most popular, sought-after preacher in all fundamentalism. So, you know, the fact that he said he's just a man should tell you where how popular he was. And guess what happened? Even though he warned them not, you know, he was just trying to stop them from, you know, from cheering and praising Jack Hiles, what do you think they did anyway? They still, when he came up, ah, you know, woo! Because at Hiles Anderson, they had developed this culture where it was just, you cheer for each preacher that comes up like you're cheering for a football game, right? And I've actually seen this happen. It still goes on today in some churches. I've seen it happen in Grandview Baptist Church, which is up in Oregon. You know, they did it for every preacher. Now, I mean, if we cheered like that for Pastor Jimenez every time, don't you think that'd be a little weird? I mean, it'd be a little strange. And there are people that think it's strange. You know, some people think it's cool, but I think it's kind of weird. I probably wouldn't do it. I know there's a guy that goes to my church, and his whole church got blackballed from Jack Hiles ripped him from the pulpit one time and said, because everybody got up and cheered when they went to a conference, and these guys sat down and didn't stand up and cheer like, you know, they were at the football game. And he said, you know, I don't know what these guys' problem is. But and so basically just called him out and made him look stupid in front of everybody for not getting up and cheering for him. And that's a problem. I mean, it can get to a point where, you know, your love for a preacher can become worship. And that's not should not ever happen.
That's right.
And so, you know, Dallas Dobson tried to stop his congregation from doing it. But look, people are just going to get weird sometimes. And we see that sometimes, right? Turn over to Numbers chapter 11, look at verse 24, Numbers 11, verse number 24. Numbers 11, 24. Did you say there was a water under here? This pulpit was supposed to be jacked up for me at some point. I don't know what happened. Brother Felix, what happened? He forgot. All right. Well, he's the pastor's dad, so okay. Numbers 11, 24 says, "And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them." Now notice what Moses says to Joshua here. He says, "And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. See, Moses was a very meek man. He wasn't into Moses worship, okay? He didn't want people envying other preachers for his sake. You see that? And in our fellowship of churches, we do have we have lots of great men of God in this movement. And, you know, the right attitude when new preachers start preaching is not to envy for their sake. Moses, being a meek man, said that he would that all the Lord's people were prophets. So we should never envy other men when they're coming in and starting to preach in our movement. It shouldn't happen.
That's right.
But Numbers 12:3, flip over one page in your Bible, says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." So Moses was the most meek man in the whole world at that time, right? And what does meek mean? It means to be quiet, gentle, easily imposed on, submissive. Moses wasn't one of those guys that just, commanded to be respected all the time and things like that. He was a meek man. And, you know, everybody knows in this room right now that Pastor Anderson did start the movement of the new IFB, as we would call it. I don't know if I necessarily like that lingo so much, but just the style of churches or the type of churches that we have. And what about like-minded churches? I like that term better. But Pastor Jimenez started the second church of like faith. This church that we're at right here, Pastor Jimenez started in his living room. I was in his living room earlier, and I was trying to think of how he did that. I mean, we didn't have to start in a church, so it's a little different for me to imagine, you know, hey, clean up the house, the church is about to start, you know. But, you know, it's a great way to start. But, you know, Pastor Anderson always says this. He says he isn't a talented preacher, which I disagree with him about that. I think he is a talented preacher. I think he's a great preacher. He always says he's nothing special. He was just willing to do what other preachers were failing to do, and that's to start a church the right way and to preach what the Bible says without compromise. That part's true for sure. He started his church without compromise. He preaches whatever he wants. Pastor Jimenez is the same exact way. And he preaches what, you know, and this is Verity Baptist Church. He has Faith Word Baptist Church, but there's lots of great churches within our like-minded churches, right? So in the Bible, Elijah the Tishbite comes out of nowhere in the Bible, and he does great things for God because he was willing to be used of God, right? Elijah was willing to be used of God. He just like comes out of nowhere in 1 Kings, right? I'll turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Look at verse 17. James 5:17 says, Elias, now it's talking about Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So he was a man subject to like passions like we are. He was just a regular guy. But he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain on the earth, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, right? So, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So what was special about Elijah? Well, one thing that was special about it is that he was willing to be used by God. Okay? It wasn't so much that Elijah was a special man. It was the God that he served was special.
Amen.
And he was willing to be used by him.
Amen.
And the same thing can be said for anybody in this room. If you're willing to be used of God, then God will use you. He'll use you in a mighty way. He'll use you in a special way. But look, don't ever get so puffed up that you think that you're mightier than God. It's a dangerous, and obviously nobody wants to do that. But in our, I always joke about this at church, and maybe I shouldn't always joke about it, but I joke about it. And I say that the four main holidays in the new IFB are Christmas, Easter, Pastor Jimenez Christmas, and Pastor Anderson Easter. And why do I say that? Because when Pastor Anderson comes here, this building is filled, right? I mean, this building would be packed if he was here right now, okay? And when Pastor Jimenez comes, we have a bigger crowd than we normally have. But I just want to explain the concept, though, of why I say that. Is because the same people that, you know, obviously people travel from all over the place. And you know, they're great sought-after speakers. And there's, I'm not trying to say anything bad about that. I'm saying when people that live in this area, they live just down the street, and they only come when Pastor Anderson comes here. Did you know that happens? When we've had Pastor Anderson come up twice, and our high day, I think, well, I can't remember what it was over almost 300 people in our one-year anniversary. I'm not complaining about that. I think that's great. You know, and one of the main reasons, obviously, we want Pastor Anderson to come preach. I love hearing him preach. He's a great preacher. I love Pastor Jimenez. I love hearing him preach. But, you know, one of the main points also to have them come speak is so people will come to the church and get plugged in, right? That's what we want. You know, obviously, we want to hear from from great men of God preaching. But what's weird, though, is that there was all those people, and then the next day, we had a big drop-off. Well, you know, they can't stay and hang out for the soul winning. They can't stay and hang out for the Sunday service. I just find it strange that sometimes people are wrapped up in the man and not wrapped up in the God that's behind the man, right? Doing the work that God has us to do. You know, God has, he wants us to work in his vineyard. He wants us to be co-laborers with him. And sometimes people get wrapped up in a man instead of wrapped up in the things of God and see the great things that that man is doing through God, right? So, again, I'm not trying to knock anybody or anything like that. I'm just saying that there's people that say that they're in our movement that could very well go to church, could very well come here, could get plugged in, could go soul winning, could serve the Lord here, but they don't do it because all they are interested in is following a man and not the God that that man follows. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I love Pastor Anderson Easter. I think Pastor Anderson Easter is coming up here in a couple weeks, right? So, and it's, again, it's not a knock against him. He's an awesome man of God. I'm not saying anything bad about him. And it's going to be a big day for your guys' church. And hopefully some people come and stick around and get plugged in, right? That would be the greatest thing. I know that's what he would want. I know that's what Pastor Jimenez wants. I know that's what you guys want. So it does, you know, great men of God draw crowds of people. And obviously the ultimate goal is those people would get church. Because some people, they get saved and they get hooked on preaching. You know, it's like an IV drip of YouTube, right? And they get hooked on preaching, but they still don't want to be plugged in and do the things that God wants. It's like they can hear some of the preaching and they like that part of the preaching, but then they don't listen to the other part, like go to church,
yeah,
that part.
Amen.
Go soul winning, that part.
Yeah.
So I'm sure all the, you know, we got lots of great preachers in this movement. We got Pastor Ramiro, Pastor, I don't even want to start naming them all because I'm afraid I'm going to forget somebody, but we got a lot of great pastors in this movement. But would to God that people would just go to church and serve the Lord and not just show up when their favorite preacher comes to town.
Amen.
That's weird. That's weak, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, go to church, you lazy bums. Brother Joe went on our one-year anniversary. There was a guy that came in the year before. He came to our church just for that one night. And he goes, "Hey, you know, how's it going, man?" And he's like, "Hey, I'll see you next year when Pastor Anderson comes to town." And he goes, "Oh, no, man, I'll be here all weekend. I'm going to come soul winning. I'm going to be here Sunday." Guy never came back. And he did the same thing the year before. And look, I'm not mad at the guy. I'm glad he come. But I know that that guy lives in our town. Where are you? Come to church. And look, I'm not saying that you have to come to one of these churches to be in our movement. I'm not saying that, okay? What I'm saying is that, if you live 2 miles from here and you listen to the preaching online, you should be here in church, amen, right? So shame on you if you live in Sacramento and you listen to the preaching and you're not here because you just want to watch online preaching.
Amen.
You know, you just want to hear the new greatest thing on the internet, but you don't want to do the real work of God.
Yeah.
It's weak. They want to sit on their keister and watch online sermons and wait till Pastor Jimenez Christmas comes again next year, right? So, you know what? I'm debating on whether I want to say this or not, but I'm not going to, I don't care, okay? I don't care if it hair lips every cat in the county, right? You're not in this movement if you're not here doing the work. You're not in this movement if you don't go to church. You're not in this movement if you don't go soul winning. And you're not in this movement if you don't follow Jesus Christ instead of men.
Amen.
That's the point. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. And, people need to wake up.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm not, obviously this whole sermon is against the internet, okay? But I just get tired of people whining about stuff, and it's like, just go to church. Yeah. You're missing a blessing.
Yeah.
You're missing the blessings of God. So you can, look, God, do you think God's pleased with you if all you do is just sit home and watch videos? Watch preaching videos all day? Get involved. Help the man of God. Pastor Jimenez needs help. You're not helping anything. So that's what I'm talking about by saying if you're not doing stuff for God, then you're not really in the movement. I'm not saying if you don't go to this church. If you live in Zimbabwe and there's no good churches there, go out soul winning. Do something. If you're watching all these sermons on the internet, just do something where you're at. Go to church, the best church you can, where you're at. But it just seems like people listen to the preaching and they just ignore it. They're like, they fast forward that part where it says, hey, you should get into the best church in your area. They just fast forward through that. They just want to hear you rip on the fags. Which, of course, I love to hear that too. But anyway, quit whining about how bad your church is and get out there and serve the Lord. Where there's a will, there's a way. I was talking to Brother Oliver the other day, and he was telling me about the story of how he moved up here. He was putting in job applications for 2 years. What? I don't know if it was 2 years. Was it 2 years? Where are you, Oliver? 1 year. Okay, I got that wrong. So this is an inspired sermon. But but Brother Oliver was putting in stuff for two applications for a year. Didn't hear anything back. And he wanted to move here and come to church here. And he was praying to God about it. And he said, I want to go. I guess FedEx called him for a part-time job, and he's like, look, I'm just going to go, hon. And his wife encouraged him to go, and, he ended up, through the whole process, he was going to take a part-time job and try to live here, on faith, and then he ended up working here. So he ended up, through that, just that one act of faith, ended up moving up here to Sacramento, and he lived happily ever after. Look at him, he's happy. But seriously, if you want something bad enough, you're going to ask God for it, and God's going to give you what you want.
Amen.
When it comes to spiritual things, I'm not talking about a Lamborghini, brother. All right? So, you're missing a blessing if you're not in a great, even if you're in a not great church, you're missing a blessing if you're not working for the Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Can I get two guys to just lift one side of the pulpit and just kind of, just kidding. All right. Now I know how Pastor Menace feels when he comes up to our church, and he's like got to stand in front of our pulpit because it's like a tower. Okay. Hebrews 10, verse 24. The Bible says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So the Bible commands us to be in church, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And that the manner of some is I'm talking about is those people that won't go to church, the people that won't get involved in the local church. How can we provoke you to love and good works if you're not even here? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You have to be in church. You know, and this verse is not just like a suggestion from God. Okay? It's a sin to not go to church. Did you know that? Well, look at verse 26. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." Not going to church is a serious deal. We've had people, we've grown, our church has grown a lot, but we've also lost a lot of people along the way. It's like we lose people and then we gain more. We lose people, we gain more. But you know the saddest phone call I get is when someone says, you know, "I just can't be half in, half out anymore. I'm just going to be out." That's a sad phone call. Because you know what's coming next? The bullwhip. The bullwhip of God. He's going to chasten you for not being in church. And, you know, am I trying to scare you? Yeah, I kind of am. Because too many people fall off and stop going and give up. And God commands you to be in church.
Amen.
Just go, even during the hard times, when it seems hard. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep fighting for that prize. In verse 27 it says, "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more, of how much sore punishment suppose ye that he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, 'Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord shall judge his people.'" Who's he talking about? He's not talking about people that are not saved. He's talking about his people. And why is he judging his people? Because they've forsaken the assembly of themselves together. Okay? It's a willful sin. You know you're supposed to be in church. You must be in church. That's what the Bible says. And look at verse 31. It says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." That, if anything else should scare you, demon possession, that scares me. But I know I can't be possessed, but I'll tell you what scares me more, falling into the hands of the living God. Right? Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." So when you come to church, you're working for who? Who are you working for? You're working for God. You're working for the Lord. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how cool you are. There's no respect of persons with God. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Actually, forget that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, sorry. I'll just read for you Ecclesiastes 9:10. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. See, there's divisions that happen within churches, and I just want to teach this to you really quickly. Look at verse 2. It says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For you're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye have believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry, you're God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there shouldn't be any divisions in our churches. And saying I'm of Paul, people are saying I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. Look, if you're saying I'm of Pastor Anderson, I'm of Pastor Jimenez, I'm of Pastor Romero, that's a wicked way to look at things. That's a carnal attitude to have.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's your pastor here? Pastor Roger Jimenez. That's the man you should get behind, right? And I'm not saying you shouldn't get behind Pastor Anderson. I'm just saying that Pastor Jimenez is your pastor here. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So when Pastor Jimenez needs your help, that's who you go to help.
Yeah.
But look, we all work for God. That's the whole point here, is that, you know, no matter how, Pastor Jimenez is a great man of God, but it's the God behind Pastor Jimenez that makes him great. It's the God behind any leader in our movement that makes them great. Just remember that, and that's, you know, that's where our mentality should be. Is that we get behind our pastor, and you know, but we only follow him as he follows Christ. Amen. I saw a really weird post on Facebook not too long ago, and it was about LASIK surgery. This is how weird people can get, okay, with worshiping people, okay? It was about LASIK surgery, and it was just like in with one of our groups on Facebook, kind of, you know, dumb. But someone said, hey, I'd like to get LASIK surgery. Has anybody gotten LASIK surgery before? And people were like saying, oh yeah, I've gotten LASIK surgery, and like giving advice. And they were saying, well, you know, is it biblical to get LASIK surgery? Is it biblical to, like, you know what LASIK surgery is? Like when you get the lasers done on your eyes, right? And someone said, I don't know. Let's ask Pastor Anderson what he thinks. I mean, he didn't comment on it. They tagged him. It's like, what kind of a weird question is that to ask? That's a strange question to ask, isn't it? I'm sure he cringed if he saw that comment. But that's where people can get to. They're like, you know, why don't you look at the Bible for your answer to your question? You know, who cares? I don't care what my son thinks about whether I think LASIK surgery is biblical or not. That's a weird... But, you know, people are prone to do this kind of worship. The brazen serpent was being worshipped. The brazen serpent that they were to hold up, they were to look and live. The children of Israel started worshipping that, and they had to destroy that brazen serpent because it was being worshipped. Moses was buried by God. Why do you think Moses was buried by God? Well, I believe that Moses was buried by God because I think that they would have worshipped him too.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Orthodox Church. They kiss bones of dead saints. It's really weird, right? But they would have done the same thing with Moses, and God just buried Moses where nobody could find him because they didn't want to have some kind of a shrine there where everybody's worshiping him. Here's another thing that bothers me about just babes that attach themselves onto churches like like our movement, you know, just in this movement, okay? Causing trouble in local churches. Look, we should never have the reputation that we're causing trouble in local churches. And yet it exists, and I know that people get falsely accused about that. You know, if you just walk into a regular church and they're like, if they even have a hint that you like after the tribulation, you're like, you're on the watch list, right? The watchdog list. But you shouldn't be causing trouble in local churches. You know, that should be the last, you know, what have you ever heard the preaching of sit down, shut up, be a blessing? You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
You know, people, if you say that you're following, at least if you say you're following someone, at least listen to their preaching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a weird, weird thing, a weird subculture within our movement that just drives me up the wall. Do you think when Pastor Amanda's called my pastor, do you know what he said to him? He said that they're a blessing. You know, I approve of them, whatever. But do you think if I was there causing trouble, that he would have said that to Pastor Jimenez? He was sad when we left. You know, maybe some other people weren't sad when we left, but he was sad. I'm still friends with him. You know, we don't agree on some things, but that's okay. I don't have anything like personally against him. But that should be the testimony of anybody. If you're going to another church, don't go in there and start trying to change the pastor's mind. That's weird. You know, obviously, it might seem like you know more than they do, but you really don't. You know, because you're not the pastor. So if you're newly saved and you go into one of these churches, you know, some other old IFB church and just start trying to straighten everybody out, they're going to straighten you out right out the door.
Yeah.
And then you're going to give everybody in this movement a bad reputation. So also arguing with people about scriptures. If your argument with somebody on a scripture is posted a YouTube video, that's stupid too. Look, why don't you learn the Bible for yourself? Why don't you read the Bible for yourself and then you can answer somebody? It doesn't say answer somebody with a YouTube video, does it? You know, if you can't figure it out, maybe you need to read your Bible and quit watching so much YouTube.
Yeah, I bet.
Anyway, that was like a little pause into the sermon there. Sorry about that. But men like Gideon, what made Gideon so great? Was it himself? Was it because he was this great leader? No, it was because God was behind him in all the things that he did. Same thing with Moses and Aaron. Think about the first time you see Moses and God talking. Moses was afraid. Moses said, I can't speak. I can't do these things. And God said, I will be with your mouth. Right? You know, Jephthah, Samson, David. When David fought Goliath, he was just a boy. And he grabbed five smooth stones. But who guided David in that fight? Do you think that David was just such a great... Maybe David was such a great shot that he killed Goliath. But God gave him the power to be the mighty man of God that he was.
Yeah,
same thing with the Apostle Paul, Elijah, John, Peter. I mean, you think of Peter. Look, God uses imperfect people to do the things that he wants to do. If it's some mighty man, some muscle-bound guy, some great-looking football star, those aren't the guys that end up serving God. It's the ones that are just the average, normal people.
Yeah.
Peter, his humanity shows through to us. He begins as a lowly fisherman, right? He's just fishing, and the Lord calls him and says, come with me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So he's called to win souls right off the bat. At one point, Jesus calls Peter Satan. Remember that? In Matthew chapter 16. And then he sinks on the water, or he walks on the water, then he sinks in doubt, right? So Peter was just a man that, I mean, one minute he's doing great things for God, and the next minute he's saying something really stupid, right? He denies the Lord three times. One of the most emotional parts in the whole Bible where the Lord looks upon Peter as the cock crows and he's failed the Lord. And you know, Peter is a good picture of how you can look at yourself and say, hey, I'm not as perfect as I think I am because I fail God all the time too. But again, you know, Peter says a lot of stupid things, but he is also willing to follow the Lord. And when God when the Lord Jesus Christ reinstates him, he goes back and straightens him back out, and then the Lord Jesus Christ goes back up into heaven. And then Peter, what's he do? He does great and mighty things for God. When Christ leaves, he preaches a sermon in front of thousands of people. Many people are saved. It gets to the point where Peter, if he just casts a shadow on someone, they're healed. I mean, that's the power of God through a man that was willing to be used. And most people can see that it wasn't Peter that was such a great man, but he followed a great God. Turn to Galatians 2. And a lot of people think that Peter was the Pope and he was infallible and all that good stuff, right? But he wasn't. He was fallible, not infallible. He wasn't always right. And you know, Paul didn't think he was always right either. Turn to Galatians 2. Look at verse 11. It says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before there certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but then they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" So even after Peter was doing great and mighty things for God, he still made mistakes. You know, we're going to make mistakes in life. As children of God, we're going to make mistakes. You know, and Paul wasn't perfect either. He was wrong about John Mark. He ended up saying, "Hey, send John Mark back to me. He's profitable to me for the ministry." And so again, what's my point? That God uses imperfect men and women and children and teens to do great and mighty things for God. So there's nothing special about the man. It's the God we serve that's great. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." So God doesn't call all the fancy, highfalutin people in this world. He doesn't call all the mighty men, all the wise men of the flesh, all the noble men. He calls just normal people to do great and mighty things for him. And he'll use you too if you're willing. And again, get behind the man of God, serve the Lord in your local church, and get behind your pastor. You know, and I'm not saying to lift him up like he's God. I'm saying to get behind him as he follows God. So lift up their hands while they're weak. You know, pastors need help too sometimes. Did you know that? Pastor can't do it all himself. He needs help. And obviously there's a lot of people in this church that do a lot of work. I understand that. So help him. Pray for him. Be a blessing to him. And I kind of talked about it earlier, but, you know, sometimes pastors can feel underappreciated. I'm not saying that he does. I'm just saying don't forget to thank pastor. You know, he's worthy to be thanked sometimes, isn't he? I mean, thank you, pastor. It goes a long ways to make him feel appreciated, right? So, but there's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, deacons, there's position openings all over this country and all over this world. And you can be a great man of God also. You know, and maybe you're not qualified for some reason, or you can't be qualified. That doesn't mean you can't still serve God. You know, I see people that have wrecked their lives, and they're like, I can't be what I want to be. Well, there is plan B, right? There is plan B. And there's lots of different plans that you can have for your life. But many are called, few are chosen. We have a very big lack in this country. It's getting the gaps are getting better, but we still need men to stand in the gap for God. We still need great wives to stand with those men. You know what I mean? We have to have, if your husband wants to be a pastor someday, then, you know, you wives need to get behind him. Get behind your man and help him. You know, don't drag your feet. You got to help. And kids, you can do great things for God too. Last time I was here, I was talking about how you can learn the gospel presentation just like anybody else can. And actually, you can probably learn it better. We have a kid in our church named Zakai, and he's winning souls all the time. He's only 12 years old. If you learn the plan of salvation, you can be just as mighty as anybody in this room in the scriptures. But you got to apply yourself to it. So look at Luke 6. Luke 6, 46. It's the last scripture I'll have you turn to. Luke 6, 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and he could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So when you say, "I want to work," if you don't do the things that God says, your house is gonna, your Christian life is gonna fail. But if you build your house upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, your house is gonna be, you're gonna do great and mighty things for the Lord. John 15:5 says, "I'm the vine, and you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." We can't do anything without God. And getting behind a man is great, but make sure that man's that God's behind that man. So the main point of the sermon that I really wanted to just make sure that everybody understood is that behind every great man, behind every great man of God, there has to be, you know, that's not right. The main point of the sermon is to remember that behind every great man of God is the great and mighty God of heaven. That's what I meant to say. Sorry. All right. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the scriptures. I pray, Lord, that